Fidelis, I want to thank you for that prayer. Here we are in the last session today, and we are going to conclude this last session with witnessing and the Word of God. So we are still dealing with witnessing and making disciples. Now, using the Word of God when we witness should be self-evident. But unfortunately, many people are going around telling you, now don't use the Word of God when you witness, it only confuses people. Don't use the Word of God when you witness, it will only alienate them. Don't quote the chapter and verse, it will only confuse them. Well, I'll tell you one story. I had shared the bridge illustration on a napkin in a restaurant in Houston and led Guillermo to Christ. He was a civil engineer at one of the largest engineering firms in downtown Houston. Well, that night, about 10 o'clock, I got a phone call from Guillermo. And I said, is there a problem? He said, no, what's ISA? ISA? Yeah, I-S-A period. What was he talking about? I had abbreviated Isaiah. And so I said, no, that's Isaiah. I said, turn to the table of contents. And he said, what do these numbers mean? I said, well, it's an address. Isaiah, it's like a crossroads. It's the corner of 53 and 6. So go to Isaiah, go to chapter 53, and turn to verse 6. He said, okay, all right, great. What's Heb? So I told him what Hebrews was. What's Ram? I told him what Romans was. So from then on, not only did I quote the Word of God, but I always wrote it out because he was in the process of leading his wife to Christ. Now, if all I had done was telling my story, would he be able to have led his wife Maria to Christ? No. Well, he couldn't have remembered it. He wouldn't have anything written down. And how can she relate to what a 45-year-old man did when he was 16 years old? So it's very important for us to quote the Word of God. The second reason is that we have Jesus' example. Who was the most effective witness that ever walked the face of the earth? Who? Jesus. He's perfect. Now turn to Luke 24. Verse 24, chapter 24, verse 27. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them things concerning himself in all the what? In all the what? Scriptures. He was Jesus Christ, second member of the Trinity, God incarnate, resurrected Savior, living Word, who became flesh, was using Scripture to witness. If Jesus does it, we should do it. We should do it. Now look at verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that the things which were, what is the word? Written. The things which were written about me and the law of the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, the written Word of God. And he said to them, thus it is written. Jesus Christ relied upon the written Word of God when he witnessed. We should do the same. You should have your Bible with you. You should have your Bible with you so that you can witness. And if you don't have access to your Bible, you should have the verses memorized and you should be writing them out, because that's humility. That's humility. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Vincent, where did I lost Vincent. Oh, there he is. Come on up here, Vincent. Okay. Okay, Vincent. You're my father. Now, you have done a lot of work. Spirit, we're going to go out and do this. But you just confuse people and upset them. So I'm going to be telling them things from your book, your Bible. But I'm not going to be giving you credit for it. I won't be quoting book, chapter, verse. I'm just going to put it in my own words. And in fact, if you would just assume, not identify yourself, that would be better, because it just causes problems. You confuse me. You made a good attempt for the last 2,000 years to share. But now I have come along, and I'm going to fix it all for you. Now, isn't that proud? One aspect of humility is to make sure that the story is not about us and that we give credit where credit is due. God the Holy Spirit said in Acts 4:12. God the Son, Jesus Christ, said in John 5:24. God the Holy Spirit says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's very important, isn't it? Otherwise, you're just being very vain. And you are taking credit for somebody else's work. That is just wrong, isn't it? First, it's wrong for you to live a good life without telling people about Jesus. It's blatantly dishonest. Secondly, it's wrong for you to talk about Jesus and talk about salvation and not make God the center. That is vain and proud. Not make Jesus the center. Third, it's wrong for you to talk about your salvation and talk about your story and not quote book, chapter, verse, because now you're plagiarizing, aren't you? And lastly, it's wrong to paraphrase it and not quote it or just sum it up, because now you're saying you can do a better job at quoting this, at communicating this, than God the Holy Spirit. So don't do that. See, this is not my fear. My fear is not that in quoting a verse, I might alienate somebody. That's between them and God, isn't it? My fear is that when the witness is over, when it's all said and done, they might remember something about me and forget a Bible verse. That I will get in the way. Not that the Holy Spirit gets in the way. When I go witnessing, I'm with Jesus. I'm with the Holy Spirit. You guys do the talking. No, we want you to say some things. Great. Okay. Don't let me mess up. I'll just quote the verses. No. You have to talk about yourself. Okay. As little as possible, it's all about y'all. Okay. Let's go. That's my attitude when I'm witnessing. What's yours? It's all about Jesus. You know, there's a book in America, it's a children's book, and it's called Where is Waldo? And there's this little cartoon character, and he's in a sailor suit, and his name is Waldo. There's a big page, and it's full of little bitty people doing all sorts of things, working in the market, riding on motorcycles, everything. And there are literally hundreds of little bitty people. And somewhere in there is the little Waldo. And it's to teach children to sort facts out and find things. It's a good mental exercise. It's called Where's Waldo? Well, I've got a PowerPoint presentation, and it's entitled, Where's Jesus? And you know what it is? I have gone around in Russia, in America, in Europe, in Cameroon, in Nigeria. In fact, I've ministered in 27 countries. And all over the place, I see these posters. Glorious Holy Spirit Crusade. Get your blessing. Tornado of power. Glorious. And it's got pictures of the prophet. It's got pictures of the bishop. Come get your miracle. It has everything on there. But one thing, what is it? Jesus. Doesn't have Jesus. Now, when did that happen? Billy Graham has crusades. They were about Jesus. Campus Crusade for Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so I'll ask you, when you drive around town and you see all of these posters, ask yourself, wait a minute. Where's Jesus? Where's the lordship of Jesus? And where is taking up your cross daily and following Him? Bishop Hezekiah will be here. He will be talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is going to be a Jesus crusade. You will learn how to be born again by Jesus and then to live a sacrificial life of service to Jesus. Now, I'd like to see a poster that says that. Well, it takes humility, doesn't it? It's about Jesus. Well, what else is it about? It's about the sword of the Spirit. Please turn with me to Ephesians. Another reason we use the Word of God when we witness is because it is the weapon of choice of God the Holy Spirit. What does God the Holy Spirit say in Ephesians 6:17? And take the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit. You are going out to witness. You are going out to do battle with the kingdom of darkness. You have all of these weapons. The war axe of signs and wonders. The javelin of unknown tongues. The war club of miracles. All these weapons. Signs, wonders, miracles, casting out demons, visions, apparitions, all of these things. And the Holy Spirit walks in to the spiritual armory. And what is His weapon of choice? The Word of God. He unsheathes the Word of God and says, okay, let's go. What is your weapon of choice when you're witnessing? The Word of God. That's exactly right. It is the Romans 1:16. Remember where we all began? It is the power of God for salvation to everybody. There is no people group that is so hardened to the gospel that the Word of God will not reach them. They need miracles. They need apparitions of Mary or Jesus. They need other things. That's not true. All they need is the Word of God and a Spirit-filled Christian to share a clear, concise, articulate plan of salvation using the sword of the Spirit. That's all they need. So that's what we're going to take up. We're going to take up the sword of the Spirit. Let the Bible be the bad guy. You don't have to be the bad guy. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed to me to die once, and after that comes judgment. You're not saying you're sending my auntie to hell, are you? No! I wouldn't send your auntie to hell. Would you send my auntie to hell? No, I'll make a deal with you. Your auntie goes to heaven, mine goes to heaven. Okay? There's only a problem. I don't get to make that decision. So, I understand your problem. My father entered hell in 1979, and he has been there since then and will be there for eternity. I understand how you feel, but I don't get to make that decision. Let's look at what the Bible says, okay? Make the Bible the bad guy. Don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. Get the Bible open and say, well, I don't want to read that verse. Well, it's not my idea. Well, just tell me. No, it's not me. I don't get to make these decisions. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the Word of God. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about God. It's about you. So just read the verse. Well, the Bible is just a crutch to you. Oh, no, no, the Bible is not a crutch. You see? And the Bible is not a wheelchair. And the Bible is not a gurney. The Bible is my iron lung. I am completely helpless. I couldn't know any of this stuff if it wasn't the Bible. I admit it. But don't call it a crutch. It is much, much more than that. It is the words of eternal life. It's my iron lung. So make the Bible the bad guy. Okay? And be honest. Be honest. The reason you're a Christian is not that you saw Jesus. God, or not that you were in an automobile accident. Or not. The reason you are a Christian is because someone shared Christ with you. And then at that time or some future time, God brought that message to light and you prayed and received Christ. But without that message, you would never have become a Christian. I hear people say, I had a dream and I became a Christian. Now, God can use cataclysmic events. I had a friend in high school. I had shared Christ with him over and over again. He knew the gospel. He could repeat it back to me. He was in a car accident where another student was killed and where he was in the hospital. And he prayed to receive Christ. And he would tell this powerful testimony about this terrible car wreck. And while he was in the hospital bed, he became a Christian. And I used to say, Hezekiah, that's not what happened. No one becomes a Christian because they are in a car wreck. Now, God does use cataclysmic events, doesn't he? The prodigal son, God used the pig pen, didn't he? But while he was in the pig pen, when he came to himself, what did he know? He knew he had his father. He knew his father was loving. He knew his father had servants. He knew the way back to his father's house. He knew all sorts of things, didn't he? That cataclysmic event spurred him to come to himself and return to the father. But the pigs didn't save him, did they? No. And so don't let people stand up in your church and say, I had a dream and I was saved. I had a vision and I was saved. I saw Jesus and I was saved. I heard a word from God and I was saved. Don't let them know. I was in a car accident and I was saved. I died and came back and I was saved. Because that's not true. It's not true, so don't let them say it. You can tell them if they want to have a one-sentence statement about a cataclysmic event in their life, they can do it. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and God has laid on me the iniquity of us all. I had heard about that many times, but then this happened, and when it happened, I realized that I needed the truth, that this Bible verse was true in my life. And then you go on. Now there's some problems we have with people standing up and saying that they died and went to heaven and came back. It's Hebrews 9:27. Men die once. They don't come back. And these people, when they die and go to heaven, they never come to the judgment seat of Christ, do they? And they tell you all sorts of information that's not in the Bible. So we reject those. What happened is their heart stopped, or they were in an operation, and they were pumped full of chemicals, or they had brain trauma or body trauma, or a lack of oxygen to their head from their heart attack, and they had all sorts of unusual dreams. Now, God can use that to get their attention, but that's not what saved them. Otherwise, you're helpless, aren't you? Unless somebody sees Jesus or has a vision or has a dream or dies, whatever, all you've got is the gospel. And there's no set of second class Christians who only have the gospel. So we need to be honest. We can't use those manipulative stories to fill the auditorium so that we can take a record-breaking offering on Sunday night. We don't do that. There is a man in our church who claimed while he was having an operation that he died and went to heaven and came back. And they were going to let him tell it on Sunday night. I went to the pastor and said, don't let him do this. He said, well, you know, a lot of things happen out there. Yes, a lot of things do. We can think outside the box, but we cannot think outside the book. God does place boundaries. 1 Corinthians 4:6. Now these things, brother, I have figuratively applied to myself and to Apollos. The greatest writer of Scripture, the greatest expositor and preacher of Scripture at that time, they both submit to this discipline. And they do it for your sake, so that you may learn not to exceed the Word of God. We may think outside the box, but we cannot think outside the book. If the Bible does not say it, we can't say it. And if the Bible does say it, we can't contradict it with a new experience. So I told him, don't let him do it. And he said, well, you just never know what God does. Oh, no, we know what God does. The Bible says we know what God does. And the Bible says not to say other things that God hasn't said He does. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. The things revealed to man and all his generation. There aren't secret new experiences that the Bible doesn't speak to. God keeps those to Himself. No one knows them. Only we know what God has chosen to tell us. So yeah, no, there aren't mysteries that we are left to experience. But he insisted on doing it. He gave his testimony. I didn't go, but he said he died and he went to heaven. And it was this big, his mansion was going to be a big house in the country. And there was this elderly woman that had died several years ago. And she was rocking in the rocking chair on the porch. And a little baby that another family had lost was in the mother's arms. And there were other people there. And he talked to them and brought back messages from them of encouragement. And the church was packed. And they had the greatest offering they'd ever had. Next day, a deacon came into my office and said, did you go to the service? I said, no. In fact, I begged the pastor not to have it done. And he said, well, I wish I hadn't gone. And I said, why? He said, well, my teenage daughter doesn't want to go to church anymore. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, the youth minister taught us, she said the youth minister taught us that in heaven we'll have perfect bodies. But there is a baby in heaven and an old woman in heaven. And the youth minister taught us that we will be worshiping Jesus. But nobody was worshiping Jesus in heaven. And the youth minister taught us that it is appointed for men to die once. Then comes a judgment. We are pronounced not guilty. And then Jesus will personally usher us into heaven. But Jesus didn't usher him into heaven. So, what else is the youth minister teaching us from the Bible that is not true? So you see that? There is great damage in adding to and taking away from Scripture. You can make a lot of money. You can pack the hall. As long as nobody is thinking about the details. But there will be people thinking about the details, aren't there? So don't do it. Jesus appeared to me. Well, if you say, if your testimony is, when you were 8 years old, you prayed to receive Jesus Christ, and your parents decided to raise you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, sinned, of course, but grew up in the church. And now tempting, isn't it? Some little boy is under having an operation, some five-year-old boy, and he wakes up and says he saw Jesus. And instead of you saying, well, dear, Jesus was walking over you, but that was just a dream, honey. Instead of doing that, you make him a spectacle and make millions of dollars by exploiting him. That's going to come back to that family, isn't it? Isn't it? You know what's going on, don't you? So don't do that. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has this life has the Son. He who does not have the life does not have the Son. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Word of God. It's about the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not about apparitions. Any village demonic priest can call up an apparition, can't he? Can't they? You saw Jesus? Great. What are the five missions? That's so that after this is over, you'll say, Vincent, I want to learn this stuff. Can I be in a Bible study? Okay? This is Vincent. Give me five facial characteristics that distinguish me from Vincent. Color. Good. Okay. Size. I'm an old, worn out missionary. Long, young man. Hair.
Height.
Glasses. Blue eyes. So all sorts of things. What are the five facial characteristics that distinguish Jesus and Satan? Do you know? Then you don't know who? Except for the fact that he wants you to talk about the apparition. God spoke to you? Great. We're going to turn up and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn around and one of us is going to say it. Who said it? How do you know?
Voice.
Is Jesus' voice tenor, baritone, or bass? Is it? Is Satan's voice tenor, baritone, or bass? You don't know, do you? Do you know what the Virgin Mary looks like? Do you know what the demon goddess Aphrodite looks like? Or the demon goddess Baal? Do you know what she looks like? So you don't know who appeared to you, do you? Do you know the difference between the Bible and the Quran? Yes. Somebody comes in with a Quran, can you look at it and say, that's not the Bible? Can you? Do you know the difference between the Bible and the Book of Mormon? Do you know the difference between the Bible and the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower magazine? You know what the Bible looks like, don't you? You can flip it open and immediately you can say, hey, this isn't the Bible, can't you? You can't be deceived if you stick to the Word of God. If your witness and your testimony and your ministry is founded on the Word of God. So let's be honest. I know you can fill buildings. I know you can take wonderful offerings, but it's not true. It's a temptation, but it's not true. Jesus gave us His example. We need to share the Word of God with humility and not be vain in the presence of Jesus and God the Holy Spirit. We need to use the sword of the Spirit and not covet other tools that the Holy Spirit does not choose. We need to allow the Bible to speak for Himself, not get in argument, and we need to be honest. May God bless His teaching from the Holy Word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.